Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Welcome back, folks. We are joined by Guy Williams, president of Gulf Coast Bank and Trust, and he joins us every Monday in the 12 o'clock hour. We appreciate that, and we talk about a whole host of topics. And Guy, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you very much. Great to be with you.
Guy, let's start off with a subject matter that's been well reported here over the last several days about fraud schemes in Minnesota totaling hundreds of millions of dollars from taxpayers.
Yeah, pretty amazing. And the incredible thing is the governor of Minnesota almost became vice president of the United States, and none of this was reported, even though individuals from the Department of Health Services in Minnesota started whistleblower complaints back in 2019. So this has been going on. It is astounding. And, you know, you talk about fraud, and I'm always taken a bit aback by the frauds. You know, we talked during PPP about people that were buying Lamborghinis with fraudulent money. But Minnesota is the largest single fraud that has been uncovered as a result of the COVID expansion of benefits. And the thing that drives me crazy is, if you had a group of high school kids and said, look, we want you to design an anti-fraud system, just monitor. This is real money that we're spending. It's taxpayer money. If we spend it fraudulently, we can't help people who really need it. You could have come up with a system that would have been 100 times better. So I'll give you some examples of things that are just baffling. A single Social Security number used over 100 times. You know, this wouldn't be hard to sort out. You know, high school junior, okay, wait, 100 different applications for different benefits, different using the same Social Security number? No, we'll flag that. Yep. One of the ones that just is breathtaking, and this is Minneapolis. So you know your community. You're in charge of monitoring benefits. 6,000 meals served per day, breakfast, lunch, and dinner, 6,000 breakfast, 6,000 lunch, 6,000 dinner, in a community of 2,500 people. Come on. Nobody thought to get out of their office and just drive to the little location and say, you know, this seems a little odd. We're serving more meals than people exist. Corner stores serving 1,000 meals a day. Now, you know, we all like going to some of our corner stores, and some of them in Louisiana have some of the best fried chicken and barbecue ever. But 1,000 free meals a day being served every one of these little stores, and nobody thought, you know, maybe we ought to just take a look and see. So what we had was workers in the department complaining, gross numbers that just were ridiculous. And Minneapolis did nothing. even though they were alerted, even though the people that were doing the work said, wait a minute, we don't want to hurt the poor, but we certainly don't want to throw money away. And the government just chose to do nothing. And that was just the feeding program. We haven't even gotten into the their homeless program or their autism program.
It was... I firmly believe there was some intentionality there because you had a number of people, as you just pointed out, within the organizations, within the agencies themselves saying none of this math is working. It's just not working. There has to be a problem. And what's incredible to me, and I think we're going to talk about this later, is the reluctance of government agencies to probe a little deeper. Almost... afraid that they're going to, cause harm to somebody. But I mean, but people aren't getting their benefits, or they're worried about how folks are going to react with an audit. Now, we have no problem in this country with the IRS auditing people every day, right? But
no,
it seems as though when we're dealing with some classes of individuals, it's a problem. You know, we don't want to embarrass them. We don't want to be obnoxious. Really? It's taxpayer money.
Yeah, and the thing that is really disturbing is you have money that is designed to help people, and it's literally being siphoned away. A lot of this money ended up overseas buying houses in foreign countries. And the lady, there have been 87 indictments so far. Amy Bach, who ran the Feeding Our Future program, was really clever because whenever auditors would press her, she would allege it was racist. Now, this is a white lady, so it wasn't racist against hers, but, oh, no, we're serving a disadvantaged population, so you really can't look under the rock. And I think that is part of the reluctance. And she was able to get away with this because the administration in Minneapolis and in Minnesota didn't want to turn that stone over. And so they just let this go on. I mean, there are things that just defy rationality. One was they had an autism program where the number of autistic kids went up by 3,000%. Well, wait a minute. This would be a health emergency if that were true. But what they discovered is autism providers, often unlicensed, often unskilled, often who never made a visit, were paying families anywhere from $300 to $1,500 a month to keep their kids registered for the program. Now, the families were thrilled. Okay, it's free money. We're just getting extra money. They referred to it as the crazy money. And the providers were doing nothing, not making any visits, not doing anything, but they were showing, oh, no, we've had this tremendous increase in autism. And, you know, the auditors never looked and never said, wait a minute, this makes no sense. We can't have a spike like this in this diagnosis. I mean, this would be a health emergency if it were true, but it didn't occur.
Yeah. You know, and as you pointed out, we had the same conversation with PPP, right? That at some point in time, somebody should have realized that this individual that was claiming to have six corporations of some sort, you know, six business entities, but prior to the pandemic, they didn't have a single one. You know, it's like, hello, you know, not many people were opening businesses during the pandemic.
No, and one of the things that we found is when the programs were run through banks, there was a little bit of fraud, but almost none. No banks were implicated as perpetrators of fraud. Sometimes they were defrauded. When the fintechs got in and it became a numbers game, the money just flowed out. And there was a feeling of, let's just push the money out the door. Another area where they just pushed money out the door was in homeless services. And one of the intriguing things is, in Minneapolis, it is really cold in the winter. So You can't live on the streets in Minneapolis like you can here in the winter. It's physically impossible. You'd freeze to death. But homeless payments kept accelerating month after month, even in the winter, as if they were providing services. Well, The homeless are not stupid people. They migrate based on weather and move into warmer cities when it gets freezing cold up north. So in months like January and February, we had essentially no homeless in Minneapolis. The numbers kept increasing, and the government wasn't looking at that, and they weren't thinking clearly. I mean, we have a company in Minneapolis, and when we fly up there, our friends tell us, say, look, you guys don't really have the clothing for this, so you don't want to be walking around outdoors. You want to make sure that you have hat and gloves. You want to bring your long underwear because it's below zero, and, you know, you New Orleans folks are just not ready for this. And they were absolutely right. After 5 minutes outside, you think, oh, man, I got to get in. But nobody thought, wait, how is homelessness going up? How is it that in January and February we've got so many more people that are allegedly homeless? And, in fact, it wasn't true. It was just one more example of we're not going to audit, we're not going to check, we don't want to see, we just want to push the money out the door. And they were very good at pushing the money out the door. As I say, 87 people have been indicted so far. The total is slightly above $1 billion, probably more to come as we get really sort of beginning to get to the bottom of how much fraud there was. But every one of these programs, whether it's autism, homelessness, Medicare, Medicaid, or Feed the Hungry, were just riddled with fraud with no investigation by the state agencies, even though their own employees said, look, there are problems here. We need to fix this. This is not good for the budget. It's not good for the city and our state. And obviously, you know, now it all blows up and certainly creates a horrible reputation problem.
Yeah, you know, and of course, I'm getting a couple of whataboutism texts. We've covered fraud at every angle. It doesn't matter what political party you're affiliated with, what area of the country you live in or otherwise. We talk about fraud and abuse all the time. It's serious business that needs to be taken seriously. And people that are convicted of fraud and abuse, their sentences shouldn't be commuted. They shouldn't be pardoned. They should serve their time because they're harming the folks. There are over 40 million people that live below the federally identified poverty level that rely on some of these programs daily. We can't have the impact of turning these people's lives around when we have people that are cheating the system, right? And so it's not like these are cases that come to us that we end up talking about. And when you see this intentionality, because in this case, the whistleblowers were actually transferred out of the departments that they were whistleblowing on. Now, what does that tell you? They didn't want to hear about the problem. They didn't want to have to deal with the problem. They knew that there were going to be political implications if they went and dealt with the problem.
Yeah, and I think the thing that is overlooked is, first, you're shortchanging people who really need money. There's only so much money to be spent. Even the federal government doesn't have unlimited money. So if you're wasting it by sending it to crooks, real people who have needs aren't served. But second, you create a feeling that, look, all these programs are dishonest, so therefore, let's just eliminate them. Let's cut them way back. And, you know, some people may say that's a great idea, but people who are wanting the programs to continue should be the ones that should be most vigilant and say, no, we want these programs to be effective. We want to audit them regularly. We want them to stand up to scrutiny and show that they're actually working. And when you do that, then you gain more support because people say, hey, we're spending money, but we're getting a good result. We're getting people out of poverty. We're not letting children starve. And instead, these people literally allowed the money to be stolen just by the bucket load.
And this wasn't just one program. This could end up being as many as four or five different programs. Most of it is predominantly amongst three programs. You mentioned the Feed Our Future and the Autism Program, but also the Housing Stabilization Services Program is another example of where they had fraud and abuse.
Yeah, and General Accounting Office was nervous about Medicare and Medicaid fraud. And they said, well, let's just do a tiny experiment, and we're going to send in 24 fake applications for Medicaid. 23 of them were approved. So if you get
Remind our listening audience, the Medicaid system is federally funded but state administered.
Exactly. And the problem is, if the states don't do it well, the expenses skyrocket, creates a big deficit problem, which all the rest of us have to pay for. And so GAO now realizes, look, the states are not doing a good job. And if they don't do a better job, then it will end up being managed somewhere else. But I think it really is incumbent on the states that want the programs to continue to monitor them better. Then they'll have money to spend on people who really need it. And certainly there are people that need help, but they're not getting that help. And some of the programs, like the autism, where you have the fake doctors, you know, that's horrible because a child that might have a real problem is not being treated. And the parents are saying, well, it's okay, I'm getting a check every month, so I don't really mind. And the fake doctor says it's okay, so we're just going to carry on. But something that could be treated, a child that could move into regular classrooms, is not being helped. And this fraud is just egregious.
Well, what struck me, too, and I think you said it in a different way earlier, you had a number of different agencies, you had a number of licensing organizations that all tend to look the other way, right? And that's what was amazing to me, and I think what's amazing relative to these schemes that we've been talking about is that you had a lot of people in a position of authority that were looking the other way. We'll be right back, folks. Got to get to a break. We're visiting with Guy Williams, president, Gulf Coast Bank and Trust. When we come back, we'll talk about the explosive growth and the problems with SNAP, all otherwise known as food stamps, and charitable giving in 2026 when we return. Stay with
us. Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vien and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House Original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
With us. Welcome back, folks. We're visiting with Guy Williams, president, Gulf Coast Bank and Trust. We've been talking about fraud, and it seems as though these problems continue with other programs as well, and we've seen explosive growth and problems with the SNAP program, Guy.
Yeah, I think This is one of those programs that really is ripe for an audit. In 2000, there were 17 million people on the SNAP program, or what we used to be called food stamps. 2024, 41 million. So what happened between 2000 and 2024? The country is actually richer than it was in 2000. Per capita income has gone up. Unemployment has gone down. And yet the number of people on food stamps has gone up significantly. Now, certainly don't want anybody to starve in America, but some of the things that have been done under the food stamp program are actually counterproductive. One is food stamps for the homeless. And I know it at first seems heartless, but if the government makes it possible for people to not work, not get into a program where they can get off the streets, you're actually encouraging people to live a very dangerous, very short, very miserable life. And in New Orleans, we're fortunate. We have three great agencies, and probably more, but three that I'm well aware of, that take people off the streets, get them reconnected, reconnect them with their family, get them into jobs and apartments. New Orleans Mission is one that does a phenomenal job. New Orleans Women and Family Shelter, same thing, gets people off the streets, actually into jobs, into houses. Ozanam Inn, same thing. But the federal government program actually allows people to skip these programs. So, you know what, I don't want that structure. I don't really want to do those things that are involved, like get clean, get sober. I'd rather just live on the streets. And so you have food stamps for the homeless that actually encourage people to do things that are very dangerous for themselves and also bad for the community, because you reduce property values, make people very nervous, and we all have friends that are afraid to come downtown. They don't want to see the panhandlers. They don't want to go to French Quarter restaurants. They just don't like seeing the people in the streets. So without intending to, the government is actually spending more money in enabling people to live very unhealthy lifestyles and no real push to get off of it. And this isn't a Team D or a Team R issue. Bill Clinton is back in the day said, look, we're going to end welfare as we know it. Our objective is to get people off of welfare, get them into jobs, get them into a place of responsibility so they can set an example for their children and we can end generational poverty. So when we look at the numbers, 17 million in 2000, 41 million now, something is wrong with our food stamp program. And it's not that we want people to starve. It's that we want to look at what do we need to do so that people can actually have a very good life, set a good example for their kids, and live a productive life both for themselves and for society.
Yeah, you know, and this program has had its challenges as well. In fact, most recently, the administration asked all 50 governors to report the individuals that are on SNAP by Social Security numbers. 28 states complied, 22 did not. The 28 states are all Republican governor states, so it is a little bit of Team D and Team R. And the 22 states that are not a single Democratic governor state provided the records. But what they found in the Republican states is that 186,000 people that were dead were receiving SNAP benefits. So somebody was spending that money, and 500,000 people were getting benefits from more than one state. They were getting SNAP benefits from multiple states. So we're not doing a good job. The federal government's not doing a good job, and the states are not doing a good job of again, checking the census, checking who these individuals are that are getting these benefits, and the country as a whole ends up being less than because we're just not following up and monitoring what we ought to be taking care of. In your business, in private business, they do this all the time, right, to make sure that there is no fraud, there is no abuse, and hopefully they catch it. They have internal controls to catch it.
No, and those are well needed. There's also a significant underground economy of people trading SNAP benefits for cash. So you don't really want healthy food. What you really want is money that you can spend on alcohol or drugs or something else. So you trade your benefits at a discount to dishonest merchants, they're happy because they're able to trade it in at full dollar when they submit it to the government. You're happy because now you have real cash to spend on what you want. So, yeah, the audits are necessary. You need to audit suppliers. You need to audit the recipients. And it's only fair. I mean, once again, if the government is spending this money, it's all of our money. It's coming from every individual who pays taxes. It's intended for a purpose, and the purpose is worthwhile. We don't want people starving in America, but we also don't want people to be subsidized in such a way that they make a whole series of bad decisions and then create a situation where their kids also make bad decisions.
Yep. And this is another program where the government finances 100, the federal government finances 100% of the benefit, but the states individually administer these programs, right?
Yeah, and there needs to be a standard. And, you know, the interesting thing, people say, well, the government can't do good audits. We in the banking industry are used to the FDIC doing audits. They're very thorough. They're very well done. And the government, when it sets its mind to, can audit things very efficiently. They just need to decide they want to. And for a lot of reasons, you know, some of them we shake our heads about, like the Minnesota crew, they just don't have the desire to get a true audited result. And that's unfortunate because it hurts everybody and it reduces support for programs that are actually necessary.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, it's amazing people don't connect these dots, right? When you have this fraud and abuse, it's less than available for people that really need it. And that,
exactly.
And that's, you know, that's a tragedy there. And it's the same thing in Minnesota with the Somalian population. The Somalians rely on a lot of these programs. Their own fellow Somalians were stealing from them. They should be up in arms more than anybody about this situation, because now, because of the breadth and depth of the number of perpetrators that were Somalian, they're stained with this, you know, situation, these allegations, and they should be up in arms about it and looking to make sure that these folks suffer the consequences of their actions.
Yeah, and I think one thing that people miss is, okay, there were a number of people from that group that were involved, but you have a group of folks that are from a totally different culture, don't speak the language, they come to America, their fellow citizens, the crooked ones, say, look, this is how the way things work in America. You do this and that, and you'll get this benefit. And they don't know any better. A lot of them are the drug mules that are recruited. And we see that in the check cashing schemes, where people that are doing the schemes will pay people, look, I just need you to do this. You're doing a favor for an elderly person. You're going to get 10% of the amount that's cashed. And they're duped into being part of the scheme. And that's what happened in Minnesota. You had a group of crooks, and the lady that was indicted at the top, the head lady was a normal white lady. She was not a Somali, but she recruited a bunch of these guys to be the workers, and now it's stained a whole immigrant population. And obviously, clearly, not all the immigrants are involved, and they were just naive.
Yeah. Well, and let's be quite honest, that is pretty much the culture in Somalia. Right. I mean, that's why a lot of folks want out of Somalia is for that very reason. But they get here and they'll figure, well, that's how we did it business in Somalia. I guess that's how they do business here, too. And they're taking advantage of. All right. We'll be right back. When we come back, we'll talk about charitable giving in 2026 and Congress tilting the table away from the wealthy and towards small donors. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. Just something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, folks. We're visiting with Guy Williams, President of Gulf Coast Bank and Trust. Guy, let's talk about charitable giving in 2026.
Yeah, I think one of the things that people have forgotten is that the changes in charitable giving actually tilt the scales away from the wealthy and toward normal folks. So the first and most significant is the people who itemize now get a $1,000 deduction as an individual or a $2,000 deduction if they're a married couple. And the other thing is, this is important because the standard deduction went up significantly. It went up to from $12,000 to $15,700 for a single, $31,500 for a married couple. So you have a much bigger standard deduction. Most people in America don't itemize, but now you've got an opportunity to do a charitable deduction, $1,000 for an individual, $2,000 for a married couple. And that is deductible, even though you don't itemize. The interesting thing, and this really, I haven't seen this reported anywhere, is at the very top end, the federal government changed the deductibility for the wealthy. So if you're in the top bracket and you're paying 37% in taxes and you make a charitable deduction, your tax bracket, your deduction amount is reduced by 2%. So your deduction, instead of being at the 37, is at 35. So you have literally less tax benefit for making a deduction than you did beforehand. And that's something that I'm not sure how it got in the bill, what the thought was, but it is a significant change. And it's something that affects people that are fairly wealthy and want to make charitable contributions. Same thing for businesses. There's a reduction. There's a 0.5% floor before you start to make a deduction. So you have these changes that actually reduce the tax benefits for the wealthy or the larger donors and increase them for the smaller donors, particularly the people that don't itemize.
Yeah, that's interesting. You don't hear that talked about much, right? Just always, you know, how the wealthy are able to shield their income. So that's interesting in that regard. Let's cover this last topic. I was reading about this change relative to auto mileage rules change and the media response to same. Let's talk about that for a moment.
Yeah, it really, one of the reasons that the traditional media is not in good favor is that they report opinion as fact. And this is a perfect example. The AP put out an article and they said Trump proposal weakens vehicle mileage rules that limit pollution. And then they go on and they say that gasoline for vehicles is a major contributor to planet warming greenhouse gas emissions. Okay. A major contributor. Globally, auto emissions are 20% of greenhouse gases globally. The U.S. share is 3%. So is the U.S. share of greenhouse gas emissions a major contributor at 3%? And is this change going to make a significant difference? One of the things that that they also said in their article is gutting the gas mileage program will make cars burn more gas and families burn more cash. And I thought that was a nice alliteration, burn more gas, burn more cash. Well, it doesn't do either one. The cars are going to burn what they burn, and people are going to spend what they spend. And actually, prices for gasoline have been going down. What the administration recognized, and the car dealers, the three major car dealers all agreed, is the standard of getting to above 50 miles per gallon can't be done with internal combustion engines. You just can't get there from here. You know, this is an old technology. It's been improved and improved, but you just can't get there. And I'll give you a simple example. I have a BMW motorcycle. It gets 35 miles to the gallon in real highway usage. Now, the book says it gets 42, but a motorcycle is only getting 35. How in the world is a car going to get above 50? But the AP article says, go ahead.
No, I was going to say it can't.
No, it can't.
It's impossible. And actually, what they were treated to at 34.5 miles per gallon by 2031, that's not going to be achieved either. So
no.
I mean, we're kidding ourselves.
Yeah, the average, the U.S. fleet gets about 25 miles per gallon, and those are the cars. If you look at a parking lot, easily half of the vehicles are SUVs, which get significantly worse mileage. And what happened is, as these mileage standards ramped up, Americans quit buying sedans. And so our preference went from sedans to SUVs. We actually burned more gasoline because of these mileage standards. It would be better, and what the administration said is, look, let's let the car makers just make what people want to buy. And if we need to, if we realize and we decide, look, carbon emission is a big deal, then tax carbon emission, and it will go down. Quit trying to do it indirectly. One of the other things in the article that was unfortunate is they said Trump repeatedly pledged to end what he falsely calls an EV mandate, incorrectly referring to Democrat Joe Biden's program. Well, those are statements of opinion. The program, if you talk to Biden officials, was designed to push EV adoption because you knew you couldn't get to 50 without EVs. California, which had 17 other states following their standards, said by 2035, you have to have zero emission vehicles. Well, that's not really technically an EV mandate. It could be a hydrogen mandate, but there are so few hydrogen vehicles that you're really quibbling over triviality. It is, in fact, an EV mandate, and it was intended to be an EV mandate. So for sure. AP to say this was false, that was the exact intention. It was done with that intention to force people to buy EVs. And look, EVs are great vehicles, and for the right usage, it can make a lot of sense. But when you report things that aren't accurate, then people start questioning everything else that you report.
Yeah, it makes no sense because the administration came right out and said exactly what they were doing and why they were doing it, is my memory.
Yeah,
I may be
no, they
wrong.
Did. And particularly people in the House and Senate said, look, this is where we want to go. And California was upfront about it. Look, we're going
sure.
to be zero emission by 35. But remember, we're talking about 3% of the CO2 emissions from vehicles in America. This is not going to solve global warming. Tremendously expensive, but doesn't actually solve the problem we're trying to solve. The other thing is they started a mandate, but it was deferred to 2029 on SUVs. So the trucks, the pickup trucks, the SUVs that people like to drive, those mandates were going to be ramped up 2% a year starting in 2029, which is conveniently after the folks who passed the bill would be out of office. So the objective was clear. AP misrepresented the facts, and I think what's happening now, and the automakers are saying it, is, look, let us build what people want to buy, and we'll let the market decide what sort of vehicles we want, whether it's sedans, SUVs, electric, hydrogen, or gasoline-powered.
Yeah. Got a text here, says, I'm an automotive technician. Everything he's talking about is spot on. They have added turbochargers, started running engines at warmer temperatures, switched to direct injection, and have driven the cost of maintenance and repairs through the roof, all in the name of fuel economy, which is absolutely ridiculous.
I would like to get that guy to give that quote so I can show my wife, say, hey, Dale, look, I was spot on.
That'll never happen in Norman residence. That'll promise you. Guy Williams, as always, truly enjoy the conversation. President Gulf Coast Bank and Trust, have a great week.
Oh, you're very welcome. Thank you so much.
Thank you, sir. We'll be right back. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. We'll check in with Scoot when we return. Stay with us. Folks, we covered a lot of information today, and just a reminder as well. We want to thank everybody for their participation in the Radiothon and Light Up the Season Radiothon for the Manning Family Children's Hospital. We shared the final tally. We raised over $172,000. And we want to thank Jessica Brandt with the Ray and Jessica Brandt Family Foundation and Lou Fragoso, President and CEO of Manning Family Children's. It was a great day. I know Scoot enjoyed it as well. Scoot, what do we have coming up?
You know, I actually feel like a good person when I do something like that. Hey, the Saints won and Tulane won. We'll talk about that and some other stuff, too.
All righty. Scoot's headed your way with a great agenda. Stay tuned. We'll be...
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. Just something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House Original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes Of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.